Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, November 30th, 2023. I love the lyrics to that song, which is the theme song for the Woman, Life, and Freedom protest. I've been airing it for almost a year now on the Cross in the Desert. Muse writes, "They will not force us. They will stop degrading us. They will not control us, and we will be victorious." Those words are perfect for what I want to talk about this morning. This morning, I have a very special guest who's going to join me within the next couple of minutes. Her name is Heather Joy. We meet every Sunday evening for intercessory prayer, praying for the people of Iran. She's a prophetic teacher. She's a wonderful Christian lady, and she's going to join me. We are going to talk about the recent release of Iranian rapper Tomaj Salehi. Now, believe it or not, just 1 hour before I started this podcast, I was reading on Iran Wire that Tomaj Salehi, the Iranian rapper released on bail 2 weeks ago, has been rearrested. It really shouldn't shock us. That's the way that prisoners are treated in Iran. Apparently, he was rearrested just hours ago in the northern city of Babol. And that's less than 2 weeks after his release from captivity. He had been captivity in Evin prison for over a year. Now, he was detained by armed plainclothes agents and taken to an undisclosed location. That's all of the information we have. And the title of this program, Tomaj Salehi is free. We were going to rejoice in his release from prison, and it's completely the opposite now. We're going to have to talk about this. We have limited information. There are very few details. Tomaj's official Twitter page is quoting his lawyer that is talking about this horrendous development in what was supposed to be a situation where he was on bail. We will talk about this and lots of other things this morning, but I go back to what I just shared with you in the beginning, and this has to be the motivating force, the motivation of people like Tomaj. The lyrics are, they will not force us. He's not going to let them stop him from rapping and talking. They will stop degrading us. They're going to have to stop harassing these people. And Tomaj would say, they will not control us, and we will be victorious. That is the attitude that this man has. He is a survivor. He is tough. He is unrelenting. He is unafraid to oppose this dictatorship. But for whatever reason, and really there was no reason given, he was rearrested, probably because he has such an impact on the people of Iran, and they're scared of this man. And obviously they want to silence him. But that's what they do to all people in Iran. Like my good friend Maral Rustami says, Iran is one big prison. You can be released from prison and still be in prison because you live in this country that wants to silence you, that wants to shut you down, that wants to oppress you. And especially if you're a Christian, if you were once a Muslim that converted to Christianity, well, the gallows is waiting for you. This is a country that's unafraid and unashamed of what they believe in, and they're going to oppress as many people as possible. I want to introduce you to my good friend and prophetic teacher this morning and my guest, Heather Joy. Good morning, Heather, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert.
Good morning, Randy.
Well, here we are gathered this morning, Heather, and I was just talking about the program where we're going to discuss the recent freedom of Tomash Salehi, the Iranian rapper who on November 18th was released on bail. And this was supposed to be a program rejoicing in his release from captivity, but as you well know, as I texted you this morning, he's been rearrested. Your thoughts on this?
Yes, Randy. I did check his telegram and did confirm he has been rearrested, and I am absolutely both devastated and angry, as you can imagine. We know that the regime is known for doing this. They're known for releasing prisoners only to rearrest them, and at the moment, Tomash has been taken to an unknown location, so the fight continues.
As you mentioned, this is typical of this regime. You really aren't free, as I was just mentioning before you came on. My good Iranian friend, Moral, describes Iran as one big prison. You can be out of prison, and then you're under surveillance. And then, in this case, you're rearrested. And Heather, don't you think that part of the reason for this is because they know the power and they know the influence of someone like a Tomash Salehi that is unafraid and unashamed to speak out?
Yes. I mean, anybody that is deemed a threat, according to the regime, they're going to do everything in their power to basically take them out. And as you said, it is. It's like an open-air prison, really, because anybody who is released from one of the prisons is usually put on bail. So you have a lot of circumstances as it regards bail, and so to have somebody be rearrested, somebody like Tomash, who is willing to go against the grain, to go against everything that the regime stands for. It stands to reason that he's seen as a threat, but I'm not going to look at this as the end. You know, I'm going to continue, and many others are going to continue to fight for his release once again, and we've seen the power of God, and we're going to see the power of God again.
Amen. Amen. Now, I was reading Iran Wire, and they quoted that he was detained by armed plainclothes agents November 30th, which is today, taken to an undisclosed location, accused of publishing false information and disturbing public opinion. Well, that's anybody in Iran. Heather, anyone that goes against the narrative and the grain and dares to speak out or has a rap song that talks about freedom, that's disturbing public opinion. But 99% of the people in Iran want freedom. There are those that side with the regime. There are those that are into the reform, the regime kind of thing. But most all young people especially that follow Tomas, mm-hmm. they agree with him. And so he's going against the narrative, and that's probably why he was rearrested.
Yes, and unfortunately, you know, that's something that the regime is known for. It's a difficult thing when you are in a nation where the regime is basically subjugating and has been subjugating their own citizens for decades. And as you said, Randy, a lot of the youth, especially the youth, but even, you know, the young adults are really rising up against this regime and really saying, hey, we want freedom. The other thing that came into my spirit this morning after receiving the news that Tomash had been rearrested was that I believe that they did this in such a way where they wanted him almost, it was almost like a another torture tactic, where they wanted Tomáš to experience a little bit of freedom only to take it away from him again. Because they're bent, this regime is bent on power and bent on violence, and it's absolutely, it's unbelievable.
It's almost like to say, look, this is going to happen to you, what we did to Tomáš. What we want to do, though, Heather, even with the breaking news, we want to go back to the Woman, Life, and Freedom movement that started in September 16th, 2022, after the brutal beating and death of Mahsa Amini. And it was during this time period, in the month of October, that Tomáš was first arrested. But this is not the first time he's been arrested, Heather.
Correct. Yeah, he had been, prior to the Mahsa revolution, or the Woman, Life, and Freedom revolution, rather, he had been arrested twice before. And each time it has been worse, you know, because like I said, he's seen as a threat. And anybody that has, you know, that has been a threat to the regime, they do their best to take them out. And it's only because of, honestly, Tomáš's influence, that another victory in all of this, despite how devastating, is he hasn't been executed like many others. Just recently, not to go completely off track, but there was a young man, probably 15, 16 years old, who they just executed, again, for being a threat to the regime. And it's barbaric and it's demonic, and
Now, your story about Tomáš is in our book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. You've been following his case for quite a long time, and you've gone into detail about his background, his reasons for arrest. He's a rapper, he's a musician, but he's also an activist. And in your story, you have a quote here, and I can just imagine putting myself in his place this morning, that he's not backing down. It may have shocked him, but he's not the kind that backs down. And it says here in his actually Instagram page, if you're not in the fight for freedom with us, then don't bother fighting for my release. Elsewhere, Tomáš says, this country is ours. It belongs to the people. I don't think we have a man that's going to back down even after being rearrested.
No, and the funny thing about the regime is they can't take accountability for anything. So for them to rearrest him in such a way and say, well, he's falsifying claims and he's, you know, propaganda and all of that, it blows my mind for a regime to just use their power for nothing less than harm and torture. And yeah, I mean, when Tomáš said that, that resonated with me, because as somebody who has fought alongside the Iranian people for as long as I have, that's what we want, is freedom. And I think freedom, honestly, is a right that should be given to everybody, regardless of the nation. And so we will continue. There are those of us, and like you said, Randy, Tomáš is not one to back down. I don't think this completely shocked him, because he, like many of us, knows how the regime works and operates. But at the same time, we're not going to back down. This isn't something that, you know, we're just going to let by the wayside.
And he's very outspoken. I love the quotes in your story in our book, Uprising. He says of this regime, we are dealing with a mafia that is willing to kill the entire nation to keep their power, their money, and their guns. Well, look what they're doing to support Hamas and Israel. Look what they're doing to support through Hezbollah and terrorism in other countries. This is a country that is hell-bent on the destruction of the Jewish people, is hell-bent on the destruction of their own people, and it's all about money, and it's all about power and guns, and Tomáš is absolutely right.
Yes, and that's, you know, I mean, that's, the regime is bent on power, like you said, and they have been a supporter of terrorism for, I mean, centuries. So it stands to reason that when you are a supporter of such terrorism and death, nothing comes of that, right? When you bring nothing but death, you receive death. You dish out death. There's nothing else. There's nothing, another byproduct of that except death.
And the way that he was treated while in prison, you actually detail that in your story. Why don't you take us through exactly what Tomasz has been suffering from while in prison? And one of the reasons we rejoiced when we heard the news that he was free was that now he can finally get medical care. So tell our audience what exactly he went through while he was in prison and in solitary confinement.
Yes, Randy, and that was my hope, was that he was finally able to get medical treatment, because one of the things that the regime is also known for is denying prisoners medical treatment. And as we're talking, Randy, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of political prisoners in Iran right now who are not receiving medical treatment. Tomasz was, for most of this particular arrest, he was in solitary confinement. And while he was in solitary confinement, the guards repeatedly beat him constantly. He had internal bleeding at one point. They had taken his eyesight, so he has limited vision in one eye. They had broken many bones, many bruises all over his body. At one point, I could see in the spirit, I could see guards entering his room and actually beating him. Sometimes it was with their fists. Sometimes it was with other weapons, other guns even. I think at one point they did shoot him in the foot as well. So just the amount of torture, and me explaining it doesn't do it justice, but the amount of torture that is done in these prisons across Iran is unlike anything that any Westerner who's listening to this can ever understand. And it's barbaric. It's really demonic. And it's, you know, I can only imagine the level of not only the physical torture, but also you have to think about the mental abuse and the mental, you know, they're trying to get to break your spirit, basically. And so that was another thing that we really, you know, don't know what Tomasz's mind, you know, how his mind is. We know he's in good spirits at this point, as he would be, because he is very, very strong, very much a fighter. But even the strongest fighter has, you know, their own battles to deal with.
You know, in your story, you write extensively about when he was first arrested, and it was actually back in January 12th of this past year, January 12th, 2022, before the Woman, Life, and Freedom Movement. And
right.
It was during that time that he actually skipped his court date to write more rap songs, one of them
yes.
called Gallows News. Then he continued to create more lyrics and do more interviews until he was finally arrested again on September 12th. This is a man that is unrelentlessly courageous. He looks yes. at this whole situation as an opportunity to be a strong voice. And you detailed, as you just explained, all of his injuries, but he is a human being. But he has a courageous spirit. He reminds me of a friend I have on Facebook, Mehdi Rajabian, who is an Iranian musician like Tomasz. He plays the sitar. He was put in prison because he had background singers that were female. You can't have that in Iran. Female background
yes.
singers or have anything to do with
correct.
The opposite sex on your recordings. So he's out there creating material like Tomasz, writing songs about peace and freedom. And he was in solitary confinement back in 2015 in Evin prison. So Mehdi would be very familiar with how they treat you. Once you're released, he was put under surveillance, can't leave the country,
yes.
he can't, you know,
mm-hmm.
receive any royalties. But like Tomash Mehdi continues to produce, to write music. And just think about this for a second. This is all Tomash wants, is to have the freedom to speak out and use music. And in Iran, music is haram. According to Islam, music is haram. And so you have an ideology that is so oppressive that they're against the lyrics, they're against the music. And it's hard for us as Westerners to get a hold of that.
Yes, there's a lot of things as it regards the Iranian people. They have a courageous spirit that we can learn from, especially Westerners. You know, we are so comfortable in the West that any little thing that could go wrong, we're all up in arms about it. We're all like, oh, this is the end of the world, you know. But you have Iranians, meanwhile, who are living under a regime that for the slightest little thing, they will hunt you down, and they will do everything in their power to destroy you. I mean, think about it. I was kind of overhearing a conversation, and some Westerners were talking about the fact that what if, and just think about this for a second, those of you who are listening, what if the most famous rapper in America, Eminem, what if he was arrested? What if he was arrested for making the lyrics that he's putting out? Can you imagine that? And yet you have somebody like Tomash, who is resilient, who is detailing the atrocities that the regime has put Iranians under for four decades now, and that is seen as a threat to the regime. And just little things like that, that you have to wonder how such a barbaric regime, how they sleep at night, knowing that they are subjugating their citizens over the tiniest little things, and even going so far as not only subjugating them, but then not getting them medical treatment. Mm-hmm. We can't fathom that. We can't.
No, it's unfathomable. Which leads me to the point I want to make, that I want our listeners to understand that we meet every Sunday evening. Now, that's changed a little bit for me because of my new part-time job, but we've been meeting on Sunday evenings to pray and intercede for this nation. God has given you a heart for Iranians. You have a calling, and you're going to actually go to Iran one day and to minister to hurting people, and God has called you to do that. It's an amazing thing,
yes,
this connection you have, and you have many Iranian friends online as well as I do. But we have this time together on Sunday, and we have been praying fervently for Tomash's release. And I'll just never forget the night that I heard about his release 2 weeks ago. I called you on the phone. We were rejoicing.
Yes.
And I want our listeners to understand the importance, though, Heather, of intercessory prayer and praying, because this is a result of answered prayer. We're seeing the result of that, and we're going to be praying again for his freedom from what being rearrested. But I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about a recent event that we both are very excited for. A young girl during the Woman, Life, and Freedom movement, 16-year-old Hasti Panahi, was beaten in the head simply for refusing to sing the national anthem to the Supreme Leader, along with other students in the school in Abadanon. And she was in a coma, and we prayed that God would awaken her. We decreed that she would awaken. And to our utter amazement, she was awakened, and God has revived her from that coma, and she's in a wheelchair because of that brain injury. But we believe that God's going to finish that miracle. But I just wanted to share that with our listeners, the importance of intercessory prayer.
You're right, Randy, and we definitely rejoiced when Tomash was released, because we had seen God move, and in the same way that Hasti came out of her coma, I believe at one point they told her father, if I'm not mistaken, that there was nothing that they could do, that she was completely brain dead, that she would not survive, and look at God, you know, God had another plan, and she arose out of that coma. And so, you know, when I think of intercessory prayer, it's definitely a responsibility. And so I would just advise, you know, our listeners to really look at your influence and see, you know, see where you can help on a practical term and practical means. But also, especially if you're a believer, and maybe you've never, you know, done intercessory prayer before, but we know that God is a God who answers prayer. We know that God is a God who moves. His power is still alive today. And so it was just amazing to see God move in the midst of Tomasz's imprisonment, in the midst of Hosty's medical situation. And God has just been so good, and we're going to keep doing it again because we know that God, he can do it once, he'll do it again. And I'm thankful for the responsibility of being able to intercede, you know, and especially when it comes to Tomasz, I don't know particularly what his religious background is. Now, I know they are very nominal as far as Islam goes, as many Iranians are. Many Iranians have been done with Islam for decades because they see that it's done absolutely nothing for them, right? Nothing but death, nothing but violence, nothing but poverty. And so even in a situation where you have somebody who's not yet a believer, to stand in the spiritual realms on their behalf is something amazing, to not only have the responsibility, but to behold that, because you see what's being done, and even what your prayers are doing in the natural, they change things in the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
They change things in the spiritual realms. And we're seeing that with Tomasz when he was initially released. We saw that that fruition come to be in from the supernatural then into the natural. And so to hear of his rearrest, that just, I think the regime thinks that we're going to give up at some point, but honestly, that just really fuels the fight to continue and the resilience to move on.
Exactly. I wanted to build on what you just said. We live in a world filled with violence and evil, and there's coming a day when God is going to destroy all evil and death and sorrow and bring a new heavens and new earth. But in the meantime, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our warfare, although we talk about Iran, is really against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, is against Satan and fallen angels. And so this doesn't surprise me that this evil would take place as soon as this man's arrested. But you talk about prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of one righteous person avails much power, James 5:16.
Absolutely.
And the importance of intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is, we are destroying strongholds in intercessory prayer. We are taking captive all thoughts and making them obedient to Christ. We are speaking decrees and declaring things, because God has given his church that authority and that power in his name. And so when we meet on Sunday and you talk about praying and in the spirit, we are doing warfare. And we want our listeners to understand that there is a battle. It's a daily battle going on, but we have victory in the name of Jesus. We have victory through the cross of Jesus. We have victory because of the blood of Jesus. We have victory. And so we know the devil roars and prowls about like a roaring lion, but we're going to get together next Sunday, and we're going to fight for Tomasz again.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's really looking at your sphere of influence. And when you talk about, so as somebody who has a sphere of influence over the nations, that's something too, that when it comes to intercessory prayer, it's not for the faint of heart, because what you're dealing with is, you're dealing with strongholds, you're dealing with territorial spirits that have been there for decades, and they're not going to give up the fight, right? It's something that you really have to recognize as a believer that you have the living God behind you, and he's going to be the one who's going to break down those barriers, who's going to break down those strongholds. And I'm just amazed at the power of God, seeing the power of God. It's something indescribable to know that you, as a believer, you have the authority to take things captive. You have the authority to destroy anything that would come up against, not only against Christ, but even nations or family. You know, if you have a prodigal in the family, praying for that family member to come back into the fold of God. It's absolutely amazing, Randy.
Yes, I'm so encouraged when we meet. And it's something we both love to do, and we're committed to doing it, because God has called us to be, as it says in Ezekiel 33, watchmen on the wall. And what that means is that we are to watch and we are to pray. Jesus said, watch and pray. We are to be that watchman on the wall and to speak out and to take that opportunity to intercede for these nations. And you can think of the persecuted church in the Middle East. You can think of Iran. But it is our pleasure and our honor and our love to see God work and shape history through our praying.
Absolutely, Randy. The power of God is alive today. And if you have the eyes to see, you will see the power of God move. And it doesn't necessarily have to be far away. It can be in your own family. It can be in your own community. It can be in your own sphere of influence if you're willing to see through the lens of the Father and see the Lord move in whatever way he wants to move.
Exactly. Well, Heather, I really appreciate you taking time this morning to share your heart and to join me on this time where we were talking about the freedom of Tomas Salahi. And as prayer warriors, we declare and decree this morning that he will again be free. And I want to thank you for sharing your insights and sharing your heart for prayer, intercession, and Tomas this morning.
Amen, Randy. Thank you for having me on. It's a great privilege to be able to intercede and even inspire those to join in the effort and to join in the movement. And while I'm on that line of thought, as our listeners are listening to this, we've mentioned before that Tomas has been rearrested. And so if you think of him, please join us. Please join us in prayer. Please join us in raising awareness not only on Tomas's behalf, but on behalf of the Iranian people as a whole who are fighting for the freedoms that we take for granted.
Exactly. You're right, Heather. The freedoms that we take for granted. And you mentioned the freedom to sing, the freedom to proclaim publicly, the freedom of religion. We all have that here. They don't have it in Iran. And that's why we're praying for them. I want to thank you for sharing once again. God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday, Heather. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
That is my good friend, Heather Joy. It's such a joy to have her on the program and to pray with her on Sunday nights. I want to take some time to reiterate that this is a serious situation. Tomas Salahi was trying to get his life somewhat back to normal, to get medical treatment, and that probably won't happen. So we have to intercede and pray that God is going to move in a miraculous way to bring him out of this so-called rearrest, and so that he can get that medical treatment. So please join us in praying for Tomas. I want to end the program today with a song by Bethel Music. It's a very positive, very spirit-led song about revival. You know what's happening in Iran. You see the lack of freedom, but there's an underground church movement that is the strongest in the world, and they are winning many, many Iranians to Christ every day. So the God of revival is active in Iran, and I want you to hear this song by Bethel Music and think of what can happen when you and I pray for the people of Iran, how God can use that situation in all of its evil to bring glory to himself and to bring revival to a nation of no freedom. Let's listen right now.
you were up there again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move on. Things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul you can't save. All things are possible. It's the darkest night. You can light it up. You can light it up.
Changes the sound of God of
music with really one of my favorite songs, The God of Revival. This morning, I was joined by my dear friend Heather Joy as we talked about the re-arrest of Tomas Salehi after being released on bail 2 weeks ago. And this song reminds me of the faithfulness of God in response to prayer, that we see revival breaking out not only across our nation, and our nation desperately needs it, but think about Iran. I want you to think about the church in Iran, the house church movement in Iran that has to meet secretly because of the government. This is a group of nominal name-only Muslims, Muslims in name only, that have found freedom and hope in Jesus. And they are determined to not just stay in their comfortable little house church. No, they come above ground, if you will, and they proclaim Jesus in one of the most dangerous countries in the world. This is an example for us. And when you think of revival, I want you to pray specifically this morning with us that that's going to happen in Iran. They are afraid of Christianity in Iran. The government hates Christianity because of the power they see in it. They see what is happening to the people that they want to control. That's why the mosques are empty in Iran. I reported on this a few months ago. The mosques are empty in Iran because Jesus, the kingdom of God, is coming to the people of Iran in a powerful way. And so as we pray for revival here, let us pray for God's strength and grace and revival in Iran to bring out these name-only Muslims, Muslims in name only, to come and find their hope and freedom in Jesus. This is a church in Iran that doesn't sit in the comfortable pews. They don't just kind of gather together. No, they go out on the streets. Gosh, we can learn from them. What an example this church is to us. What an example Tomas Salehi is to us and to all rappers across America. I want to see the American rappers get on the bandwagon and join to be a voice for Tomas Salehi. I want to see the Toby Max get up and say enough. I want to see people join in this fight with us. And please join us in praying as you think about Tomas this week. Think about the many other prisoners you don't have names for, that you don't know about, that are suffering and hurting in Evan Prison and other prisons. Think about them and please pray for them. It is so important. The power of prayer. Heather and I have seen the results of the power of prayer. God bless you all. Have a great weekend, and I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert at 9:30 a.m. Central Time. Have a very good and safe weekend.